John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Father, we do come before your word, asking you to reveal yourself to us. Lord God, I pray that you would help each of us to love one another the way that you have loved your Son, Jesus Christ. And we do ask that in your kindness, you would, with grace, extend to us further knowledge of yourself. Cause your Spirit to illumine our hearts as we sit under the teaching of your word. And we pray this in the strong name of Jesus, our word. Amen. You may be seated. I think of this message as a define the relationship talk. I don't know if any of you are in dating relationships, but you eventually reach a point in that relationship where it's time to have the DTR, define the relationship talk. You get to that point because you've been friends a long time and it's time to decide, are we going to be more serious? Are we going to continue as friends? Or are we indeed going to return to our respective oceans and find other fish? Jesus, sharing his last words with his disciples, has a define the relationship talk. He defines his relationship with the disciples. And of course with us. I have 3 points this morning. I would like to talk about the vine. I would like to talk about the fruit of the vine. And I would like to talk about remaining in Christ. First, the vine. Jesus says that he is the true vine. Now, the moment you see the word true, your mind begins to wonder, is there another kind of vine? Is there a vine which is not true? Now, those of us who've been studying the word, our minds run immediately to the nation of Israel. In the Old Testament, there are numerous passages that refer to the nation of Israel as the vine. And so here Jesus, contrasting himself with the nation of Israel, says, I am the true vine. Now, there are a number throughout the history of the church who felt that in order for a Gentile to be truly saved, they had to become a Jew. Of course, Paul pointed this out to Peter and corrected him. It is not necessary for a Gentile to become a Jew in order to be saved, nor is it necessary for a Jew to become a Gentile to be saved. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, it's explained that the Gentile and the Jew become a new nation in Christ. And here we find Christ, the true vine. Israel was a foreshadowing of the true vine. But Jesus is the true vine. He says, I am the true vine. I find it interesting that Christ does not refer to himself as possibly a rose among the thorns. He portrays himself as a lowly vine. We have a great Savior, and yet he, a humble Savior, referring to himself as a lowly vine. We also find within the text that the Father is the vine dresser, the gardener. Now, a gardener is concerned with one thing, and that is the productivity of his or her garden. So we have God the Father as the cultivator and keeper of the garden. That shouldn't surprise us. If our mind runs back into Genesis, we know exactly what Adam and Eve were to do. They were to keep and cultivate the garden. If your mind runs and you happen to be a husband, you know that one of the responsibilities that God has placed upon you is to protect and to cultivate your wife in her growth and relationship with Jesus Christ. This is not a foreign image. If you're a mother or a father, you know that one of your responsibilities with your child is to protect and to cultivate, that they might grow up and produce a great fruit of righteousness. This is not foreign to us. We have Jesus as the vine, the Father as the vine dresser. Now remember, the vine dresser is concerned with the productivity of the vine. And then we also have branches, two kinds of branches. We have fruitful branches, and we also have fruitless branches. Branches that are part of the vine, but apparently they do not produce any fruit. Now, I would like to make a couple comments about the vine before we move on to the fruit. First of all, a vine is a spreading plant. I don't know how many of you have vines at your home. Our vine is always spreading. It started in that little corner. Before I knew it, it was working its way out into the grass. It's going up the wall, up the brick, which was fine. But then it began to get into our wood siding. That was not good. But it is the nature of a vine, a healthy vine, to spread. A vine is not necessarily pretty. There are times when I went out to do the yard work, I actually thought our vine was quite ugly. It has very small flowers. A vine exists to produce fruit. And a vine is judged on the quantity and quality of fruit it produces. Now, it's interesting in Dallas because we have a place preeminent value on how we look. It is important for us to look. And if we don't, if our bodies don't look right, then we dress them so that we do look right. Or we work out all the time. It's very important in Dallas, even if you're out of it, it's important for you to look like you're in it. And so that's kind of drives us. I mean, here we sit. We're in church. You dress the way you dress when you go to church. You put on your church clothes. It's like every kid knows, there are my church clothes. I only wear those for church. Because we want to come and we want to look like we belong in church. We're comfortable here. You may dress properly and not be saved. You may be physically fit and not be saved. The Lord is not concerned with your outward appearance. The Lord is looking at your heart. You might be seated here in the church. There's the visible church and the invisible church. This morning you're seated as a part of the visible church. We can see each other. Here's church. I'm in it. I'm part of the visible church. To be part of the visible church does not necessarily mean you are part of the invisible church. The church that has existed through the ages. Men and women, boys and girls. So it's possible to be seated in this church and not be a member of the vine. It's possible to be in the Word and not of the Word. Let me talk about the fruit of a healthy vine. We can all look like Christians. But there were two kinds of vines, two kinds of branches in this vine. There were branches that were part of the vine. And yet, they were removed. When I was growing up, my favorite holiday, in fact, I still have Christmas as my favorite holiday. I used to look so forward to getting a tree. We would go out and we would find a healthy, beautiful tree and we would sever it from its root. We would cut it down. Then we would strap it to the top of our car, drive it home, stick it in the corner, and then we would do our very best to make that tree look like it was still alive. We would put all kinds of fruit on it and tinsel and ornaments, popcorn and presents underneath. But you know what? That was a dead tree. It was dead. Many of us in the church, though dead, have tried to dress ourselves with acts of self-righteousness in order to convince others that we're saved, that we're part of the body of Christ. I remember shortly after Christmas, I couldn't wait to open the presents. But then within a few days, my mother would allow us to take the tree. And we would go block to block and we would take all the trees that we could find. We would build this huge Christmas tree fort. We would play in it for days. And then when it got so dry that it was dangerous, we would stack them up in a field. And one of the funnest things we would do is light those trees. Because they would go up like that. Hot and fast. Dead trees. And yet adorned with things to make them look like they were alive. Now if you're thinking with me a little bit, you're saying, I'm here in church. I'm sitting here under the Word. I'm in the Word. What does it mean to be of the Word? Well, I want you to know that being of the Word is being pruned. You notice that both branches were pruned. You may be a fruit-bearing branch in the body of Christ, and you will be pruned. There's so many different people who teach God's Word and say, once you become a Christian, your life is easy. Your life is not easy once you know the Savior. You will be pruned because you now exist to bear fruit. And the vine dresser, the gardener, will work in your life in such a way that will cause you to produce fruit if indeed you are a true member of the vine. So fruitful branches are pruned so that they might what? Produce more fruit. In fact, after a vine would have a great harvest, they would go in and chop that vine right down to the root. Why? So that it could start again and produce another crop. Because a vine exists to produce a crop for its gardener. You might say, how is it pruned? If you'll look at the text in verse 3, Jesus says, you are already clean because of the Word. God prunes us. The gardener prunes us. With His Word. He removes the superfluous aspects of our life that we might be more productive for Him. We shouldn't find that unusual. Could you imagine having a football coach that did not correct his team? You would think that he was worthless. That's why you have a football coach, to correct your team. In fact, if I had to correct the team that a local coach has to correct, I might carry a weapon as well. God corrects us through His Word. It should not alarm us when God prunes us. It should not alarm us when God cuts us down to the foundation of our belief in Him, because that is preparing us to please Him as He produces a crop through us. Jesus is the vine. Are you a fruitful branch? But there are also fruitless branches. Branches that do not bear fruit. They are cut off and they are taken away and they are stacked up like those Christmas trees and they're lit on fire. Now, if you're thinking with me this morning, I know that you're saying, wow, what does it look like to be in the Word and of the Word? I know last week we talked about being in the world but not of the world. This morning we're addressing the issue of being in the Word and of the Word. What does a person look like who's in the Word and of the Word? I would like to know. Because it's getting hot in here. And my acts of self-righteousness are becoming a burden to me rather than clothing of righteousness before the throne of God. I'll tell you what. A person who is in the Word, but not of the Word, looks like Judas. Turn back a page to John chapter 13, starting in verse 18. It says, I am not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen, but this is to fulfill the Scripture. He who spares my bread has lifted up his heel against, who shares my bread has lifted up his heel against me. Verse 19. I am telling you now before it happens so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am He. I tell you the truth. Whoever accepts one I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. After he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me. His disciples immediately stared at Judas. No. For those of you who are new in the text, that's not what it says. It says his disciples stared at one another at a loss to know which of them he meant. These were not just people who got together once a week for an hour, wearing the right clothes, in the right place, singing with a loud voice so you don't have to sing hymns over again. These were 12 men who ran together day and night for the period of up to 3 years. They knew each other. They knew each other well. And when Jesus said, one of you will betray me, they did not immediately, unanimously say, Judas! They wondered. They wondered who it would be. So here we sit together. Branches of the vine. One day, we will be divided into two camps, the fruitful and the fruitless. And yet we look so much alike right now. But look at the marks of the fruit. The fruit is this, that God changes our hearts and changes our lives. He takes an ugly, wild weed and He changes us into a fruit-producing vine. You see, we have two perspectives battling right here, don't we? We have God's perspective. He knows those who are His. And then we have our perspective. And we look and we wonder. But we do know that those who belong to the vine produce fruit. A true believer produces fruit. And they produce lasting fruit. They don't produce fruit that cheers at the end of a telephone call because they were watching a television show and then their life remains the same. It's fruit that lasts. It's not like the seed of the rocky soil. It's not like the seed of the shallow soil. It's not even like the seed that grows up in the midst of thorns and weeds. It's the good soil. Now, since we live in Dallas, we must have some how-tos. I couldn't imagine a sermon being well received without how-tos. The Word not only prunes us, the Word sustains us. Remain in the Word. The mark of a true believer is that they remain in the Word. That you're here this morning in God's Word puts you in a position to think, at least I'm remaining in God's Word. But it's more than that. It's more than being in the Word. It's having the Holy Spirit illumine your heart so that you understand the Word. It's not just the physical presence of the Word. Here, I have the Word. Everyone in the world can say, here, I have the Word. We have many professors of Christ. And apparently few possessors of Christ. What does it mean to be possessed by the Word? To remain in the Word. Let me give you a few thoughts about remaining in the Word. First of all, it means we stay in the Word. We don't start with the Word and then grow tired of the Word and then wander off. I've always wondered what a Unitarian missionary shares with the people they share with. I've come here to Mongolia to tell you to do what you want. What message do they have? The Word is meaningless. The Word is just something that only has meaning if they like it. We stay in the Word. We don't send our missionaries out to do interpretive dance. What does that mean? We send our missionaries out with the Word, that people might remain in the Word, because branches that remain in the Word produce fruit. Branches that are in the vine but not of the Word and do not produce fruit will be cut off. So it means, first of all, we stay in the Word. And we stay in the Word because Christ holds us in His Word. He continues to change our hearts so that we long for His Word. We long to do His Word. The second point about remaining in the Word is that it means you listen with plans to obey. You listen with plans to obey. When I'm speaking to one of my children and they do not plan on obeying me, I do not consider that listening. You're not listening to me. You sure am. What did I say? They quote it back to me. What are you going to do? Well, I don't know. I think our churches are filled. Let's just take the plural out of it. I think our church is filled with those who listen to the word and praise God that he has brought Skip, who's a faithful teacher of the word. But if you listen to God's word without having intentions on obeying God's word, I would, even with a broken heart, I would say to you, you need to wonder whether you are truly of the vine. To listen to God's word with no intention of obeying God's word is not being of the word. We look, we dress, we put on acts of self-righteousness, we go to the right things at the right time with the right people. That is not being of the vine. That is not being of the word. So not only do we stay in the word, not only do we listen with plans to obey, do you know what? We actually obey. We don't just plan to obey. We obey. God has changed us. Sin now is detestable. It doesn't have its pleasing allure. We see it as evil. And we love His righteousness. How else could the psalmist say, I delight in your word? Hey, I want you to know, I did not delight in God's word when I was not of the vine. I thought it was a pain. I thought it was a scourge. I thought it was a judgmental, harsh God. But that scourge brought this wild weed and changed a heart so that now those of us who are of the Word delight in His Word. We don't grow tired of it like a bad marriage where two people exist together. They live together. Legally they're married. And yet you ask the husband or the wife individually if they're married. And they'll say, oh, I'm married, but I'm the loneliest person in the world. I'm with the same man or the same woman every night, and I have been for the last 20 years, and I'm locked in my loneliness. It's the same with God's Word. You can be in the Word and not of the Word. It takes the miraculous work of God's Spirit. Why else do you think Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing? You can have the Word apart from the dramatic work of Jesus Christ on your behalf, in you and through you. You cannot be of the Word. You cannot be of the Word. Do you know, when I was a little boy, I remember I was about 5 years old and I didn't have enough money to purchase my mother a Mother's Day gift. But she had already figured that out. And so she gave me enough money to buy her a Mother's Day gift. And I went and I proudly purchased her a nice gift. And I wrapped it up and I gave it to her. And she looked at it and said, oh, honey, thank you so much. It was so nice of you to think of me on Mother's Day. Do you know, brothers and sisters, when God produces fruit through our lives, it's just like that. He knows we're called to glorify Him. He knows we're called to produce fruit. And not just fruit, much fruit, I admit. I am a recovering legalist. But I would share with you, it is a miraculous work of God that He provides for us that we might return to Him. Don't you ever feel sheepish when you put in your offering, thinking, He gave it to me and now I'm giving it back to Him and I'm like acting like it's a big deal.
It's like Mother's Day. He produces a crop in us. He does. Much fruit. If you are of the Word, God is producing a crop in you. He's producing a crop in you in terms of the fruit of the Spirit. And I would honestly have to tell you, although many commentators would not go this far, it's rather obvious to me that you also produce a crop in terms of God uses us to convert others. You might say, where did you get that text? I would say 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. If it were just righteousness, you wouldn't have to go anywhere, would you? Go. He produces fruit in us. He produces fruit through us. Now I see I need to close. Let me close with this story. Each year we take the high school group snow skiing to Colorado. And one of the funnest parts of the trip is coming down before anyone skis and everyone's there in the lodge and everybody is decked out in their ski clothes. They've got designer boots, they've got designer glasses, they've got matching bibs and jackets and hats and gloves and just decked out. And they look like they can really ski. But to borrow an old line, I have been to the mountaintop. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's not just looking like we are part of the vine. If we are of the vine, God in His grace produces a crop in and through us. I would again humbly ask you, what crop has God produced in and through you? What is the fruit of your life as a Christian, knowing that those who belong to the vine, who are both in and of the Word, will indeed produce a great crop.